For you all, it's interesting because we all walked in here, different names, different backgrounds, even different clothes we're wearing. But yet, I'm not a prophet, but there is one thing that we all share in common this morning. And that is, we all walked in here wanting more out of life. Is it me or it's like you never have enough? When your money gets low, your blood pressure gets high. When you get a new job, you get new bills. It's always as if what you have is just not enough. Good. You and I live in a wilderness called want. I'm always wanting something more. But in this wilderness, there's actually something that God has to say about it. It's found in Psalm 23. David says, because the Lord is my shepherd, whatever I'm facing, whatever I feel, I shall not want. Yeah. Funny thing, a little girl one day was told she would recite this 23rd Psalm. So she went home and started practicing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then the day came, stood on stage in a pretty gown, pretty dress, stood behind the microphone and said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all that I want. The member said, no, you quoted it wrong. But I would argue her theology was right.
Amen.
If the Lord is your shepherd,
come on.
What more do you want?
Right.
But if we can be honest, Ricky, that's very poetic. But though I love Jesus, I find myself still wanting. That's when what they call when faith and life collide. Sometimes life has questions that your faith has a hard time answering. But there is an answer to this question. There's actually an answer to the question of why do I find myself still wanting more? And I would answer this question by simply saying this. The reason we want more from God is due to our lack of understanding of what we already have in him. Simply put, the only reason you want more out of life, more out of your spouse, more out of your job, is all because you don't understand what we already have in Christ Jesus. Hey, y'all are quiet. Now I'm a black preacher. You better talk back to me. But today I want to remind you of something that's old. You know the psalm.
Yeah.
It's not new to you. But you know, they often say that the rest of the Bible speaks to you. The psalms speak for you. And in a season of busyness, in a season of the holidays, in a season of hustle and bustle and stress and marital rifts and relational rifts, I want to give you something that you have conveniently forgotten and at times deliberately ignored, and that is because you have Jesus, you have everything you will ever need.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
So I want to show you multiple ways of what it means for the Lord to be our shepherd. Turn your Bible to Psalm 23. Do you have it on your phone or in your lap? I want to also encourage you with this. Most of you say, well, Ricky, I know this psalm front to back. And that's probably the issue.
Right.
Whenever you know something front to back, you tend to believe you know everything about it. And maybe just today, Christ wants to point out something that you have forgotten.
Amen.
It's not about you reading through the Bible. But it's all about the Bible reading through you.
Amen.
So can you humble yourself this morning? Turn back to Psalm 23 and say, God, I'm a blank slate. Teach me your word. Okay? Now, as you turn there, we don't know the exact time when King David, who was the king of Israel, wrote this psalm. But as you watch it, it seemed as if he reflected back on his whole life. When days were good, bills were paid, family was intact, marriage was healthy. But also in the days where life was tough, there were relational rifts at the kitchen table. Here's a man who's supposed to be in charge, and yet his family's in shambles. But he comes to this conclusion that in all those days, good and bad, I came to realize that you were always with me. And in that joy, he picks up the pen of inspiration, dips it in the ink of illumination, and writes the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes you lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters, restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me, the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Are you ready? The first thing we shall see about the Lord being our shepherd is the shepherd's position. David says, the Lord. This in your Bible should be capital L-O-R-D. If it's not, get a new Bible. Now, this is interesting because there is multiple names in the Old Testament for God. But there is only one name that stands above all the rest. And that's this name, Lord. It's the Hebrew name, Yahweh. It simply means God's personal love for you. David says, the Lord, Yahweh, the personal name of God that communicates my love for you. It simply shows a picture of God condescending, walking with broken people to love them. He starts off the first line by saying, this is the thesis statement of the whole psalm. The whole psalm is all about this. Because you have Yahweh, because you have the Lord, what more do you want? And everything else flows from under that. David says, do you not realize who you have? The one who spoke creation out of his mouth, who holds the ocean in the hollow of his hand.
Yes.
The Lord, Yahweh, whose name means my unconditional love for you. For David to start the psalm off this way simply means this. The most important thing about God is his love for you. Okay, this side didn't get that. I'm gonna go over here. The most important thing about God is the fact that he chose to set his heart on broken, jacked up, messed up people like you and I. Then he says, the Lord, my shepherd. Now, I don't know if you've ever been into a field to watch a shepherd, but they don't wear tuxedos. While shepherding is a very respected job, it's a dirty job. You're walking with sheep. And the fact that God would allow David to say, you are my shepherd, shows the humility and love that God has for you. Warm your hearts up. Take a breath. David says, the God whose name means my love for you, the God who was willing to leave heaven, come down to earth to be your shepherd, he says, that shepherd is mine. That shepherd is yours. This should sound familiar to you because in John 10, 11, Christ would say, I am the good shepherd. Why are you good, Jesus? Because Christ says in John 10, 10, I came to give life and life to the full. I love this. When Christ gives you and I love, it's never just a sprinkle. He lavishes his love on us. When God gave you Jesus, he gave you everything. So here's my question. Do you trust him to lead you? A shepherd's job is to lead the sheep.
Good.
So if he loves you, if he's humble, if he's yours, do you trust him to lead your life?
Good.
You are not your own shepherd.
Amen.
Come on.
And maybe that's why most of us in here right now are having a hard time with life. You're in the wrong position. Okay, look, y'all are quiet. I'm going to keep going. All right, I'm going to keep going. All right, I'm keeping going. All right. I love this. I'll say it this way. Anything that is necessary or good for me, I trust in Jesus to take care of. Anything that's good for me, I trust that Christ will take care of. Now, listen, do y'all love that? Does that sound good to you?
Amen.
Now, there's a negative side to this also. Be careful now. If that means that I trust Christ to lead me in what's good, that means that I also trust him when he says no. I know some of us right now have been praying for some things in our life to change for a long time, asking God to give us something. What I'm saying here is this. If God has not given that thing yet, then in his mind right now, you don't need it.
Come on.
It's hard. But if he's a good shepherd, everything he allows or says no to is what's good for us. I'll say it to you this way. Jesus is in charge and deeply involved in my life. Bridge Church, you can trust him. The clock is going. All right, the shepherd's provision. Here we go. So if the shepherd's job is to lead me, then where is he leading me to? Green pastures, amen. Still waters, restoration. I love this. When you and I hear green pastures, we probably think of something like this. You go ahead and put it up there. Right? Now listen, I'm in Las Vegas. I miss that. And listen, that could be true. That very well could be true. But when David wrote this song, this is what he would have seen. That's actually considered the valley of death. That's good. That's actually called the pasture of green. Like that, that looks like my backyard right now. Well, the little backyard I got, because you know I ain't got no backyard. Yeah, little backyard I got, man. Ricky, this is confusing now. This psalm used to be beautiful, but now it seems to be different.
That's good.
See, in Israel, it only rained a few times a year. So there was no lush greenery around. But the beauty of the psalm is the shepherd was so wise that the little patches of, that the little patches of grass around those rocks, he knew exactly where to lead the sheep to get what they needed. The psalm has never been about getting your Christian wish list. The psalm is all about whatever you need, Charles, the Lord knows exactly where to take you to get it.
Amen.
David says, because my shepherd knows exactly what I need, why am I wanting? Some of us right now are spiritually malnourished because we are not allowing God to lead and feed us through his word. Your Bible, this is your life. This is the primary way God feeds your life.
Yes.
A Christian who does not read their Bible is an oxymoron.
Good.
He then says, leave me in green pastures, leave me beside still waters. The idea there is, you ever been beside a very bubbling brook just kind of lowly going over the rocks? It's a beautiful scene. What he's trying to show is, I give you rest. He says, he makes you lie down in green pastures, meaning the sheep did not know what was best for them. So sometimes the shepherd had to force them to sit down. Christ is trying to tell us, Bridge Church, slow down. Why are you in a rush? Your life is busy, 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 and you're missing out on what I give you. Some of us in here right now are emotionally, spiritually exhausted. You have to say something about it because I also live life. You're exhausted. Jesus says, I'm the one who gives you comfort. Stop trying to lead your own life. Hear me. I'm not yelling at you. I'm really talking also to myself.
Good.
I'm in the boat with you.
Yeah.
Jesus says, I came that you might have life.
Yes. Yes.
But yet when I look out on our faces, we seem like we're walking dead.
Come on.
Put the phone down and be restored by Jesus. It says you restore my soul. If anyone knew about restoration, it was King David.
Yes.
Restoration means to bring back to its original purity, its original position. Simply mean David says, I know what it feels like to have life suck the energy out of you. But in Psalm 51, verse 12, David says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Bring back what is dead. Revive my life. Jesus Christ says, I came to give you life. Then he says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I love this. In John 14, 6, Christ pretty much says this. I am the way to the path of what's right. I am the truth to the path of what's right. I am the life to the path of what's right. He's simply saying this. I am the way to you to find hope,
yeah,
joy,
yeah,
and freedom.
Come on.
So what are you saying about the shepherd's provision? What I'm saying here is simply this. Jesus provides for my need and restores my weary heart. I will let him lead me every day. So here's the question. If you are his sheep, are you letting Christ lead your life? This is not religious jargon. Every day of your life, are you letting Christ lead you? All right, now it's about to get a little bit dark in here. We've left the mountaintop. And verse 4 says, even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Okay, here we go. If anyone knew about darkness, it was David. He was on the run from someone trying to kill him for over 10 years. In fact, he says in 1 Samuel 20, verse 3, I'm only one step between me and death. There's integrity in this song right here. You good, bro? All right, you good. My man, you good. We family, man. It's all good. We ain't tripping. Let's get back. David says, I understand what it means like to be in a deep darkness, a deep sin. Let me ask you a question. Ever had a pain run so deep that if forgetfulness were a pill, you take the whole bottle? Ever been cut by your spouse so deep you wonder how you're not bleeding? Step in here with me. Stop acting as if you have your life together. You don't. And David says, even in this darkness, I have hope.
Yes.
He says, three reasons why, Bridge Church, I can walk in the deepest darkness and still have hope. He says, first of all, it's a walk, meaning it shall not last forever. I came to tell you some good news today, whatever you're going through.
Yes.
It is but a short walk in comparison to eternity.
Yes.
You will not always be where you are.
Come on.
Hear me. You will not always,
yes,
be in the hardship,
amen,
in the trial that you are in. It is but a short walk.
Amen.
Then he says, even though I walk the shadow of death. That's interesting to me. A shadow is you can't really catch a shadow, can you?
Right.
This is a shadow here at the table, and yet I can see it, but it's not real. It's as if he's saying what you're walking through may seem like it's going to take you out.
Come on. Yes.
But it is but a shadow.
Hallelujah.
It's not that real.
Yeah.
The pain is real.
Yes.
The suffering is real. But the destruction is not real.
Come on.
Did you hear what I just said? The destruction of what you are going through cannot take you out.
Yes.
Have hope, Bridge Church. Remind yourself of who your God is. In fact, I'll say it this way, man. I'll say it this way. Maybe hit you this way. Charles Spurgeon says, death in its substance has been removed, and only the shadow of it remains. Here it is. Nobody is afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot stop a Christian's pathway even for a moment. I love this. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a sword cannot kill. And the shadow of death cannot destroy. Did you hear what I just said? I heard it said before of a one day of a dad and a son inside of a car, and a bee came in, and the son was allergic to bees. Afraid, and his dad caught the bee and tossed it out the window. About 10 minutes later, the bee came back in. The son now began to panic. The dad said, son, calm down. Look at my hand. I've caught the stinger in my hand. Now the bee can only do is make noise. I came to tell you this, that Jesus Christ caught the sting of death in his hand. So now whatever you're going through can only make noise. Yes. This is what you have.
Yes.
This is your Savior.
Yes.
So I should expect your countenance to change.
Right.
Have hope, Bridge Church. This is your God. And he says, not only have I come, but it's also what I bring with me. My rod and my staff. The rod's job was to move out coyotes and wolves from biting the sheep. The staff was also to save the sheep from themselves when they fail. God is saying, I'm protecting you every single way of your life. And even when you mess up your life.
All right.
Okay, I'll say it again because you ain't get that. You ain't get that. Even when you think that you are the captain of your own soul. Even when you think your counsel is what's best for your family. Even when you do not lean on the Lord's understanding, but you decide what's best for your life. When you do that, I have something to bring you back to me. So what is the shepherd's protection? What are you saying, Pastor Ricky? I'm saying this. Even in this dark time, Jesus is still protecting and comforting me. Here it is, Bridge Church. I am not alone. Got some good news for you. All of that is yours. I got to hurry up now. All right, 27 minutes. All right, here we go. Okay, we heard the shepherd's position, his provision, his protection, but now we shall end up with his promise. Verse 5 and 6, David simply says this, you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love this. What God is doing with David is he's going, David, you can still be in the valley, still be in your hardship, and I can still provide for you. I'm going to say that again because I really wanted to hit you, okay? Yeah. The lie of believers is that God can only be good to me when life is going good.
That's good.
David says, even when your marriage is in shambles, even when you did lose your job, even when that same sin keeps hitting you and hitting you and hitting you, he's saying, even in that,
yes,
I can still be good to you. Because my character, my power does not dictate on your situation.
Right.
It seems as if when life is going bad, we kind of say, well, God, you probably can't do this. David says, no, he is all powerful, his position.
Yeah.
My mom is here. I miss her cooking. Lord have mercy. When he says, normally for any holidays, my mom would cook days before the actual holiday, right? That's how you do it. Well, But her the days before, what she's doing is she's saying, son, I've spent a lot of time on this meal. Sit your butt down, slow down, and enjoy.
That's right.
In essence, when the Hebrews would make a meal, they would eat not just for an hour, but they would eat for days. He's saying, David, sit down. I know the pressure you have on your back, Pastor Ethan. I get it.
Good.
But I have called you to sit down.
That's right.
And let me lavish you
yes.
for days.
Yeah.
God is with you.
Yes.
He has not forgotten you. He says, sit down. I know what's going on behind you. I get it. I prepared a meal for you. And then he says, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now, I love this. I love this. Forgive me, Lord. In the Old Testament parties, if they wanted you to go home, they would fill your glass up halfway. As if to say, you ain't got to go home, but you got to get up out of here. But if you wanted someone to stay a while, you would fill up their cup until it began to overflow. What God is saying is, I love you so much.
Yes.
I am asking you to stay with me forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I got some good news for you.
That's right.
Jesus Christ loves you.
Yes.
Yes.
Who told you that God is not like you? I'm from the South. I'm going to go ahead and go here. We have been taught in the South this thing called religion. That God's love for me is all predicated on what I do for him.
Come on.
Hear me. That type of faith is not found in the scriptures.
Just lay it. Yeah.
That's what you call bad theology. God says, I died for you. You could never get to me. So I came to you.
Yeah.
And I came to you. Lavishing you with my love and my grace and my mercy and my forgiveness and my redemption and my salvation. Who told you I have an issue with you? I spent most of my life trying to earn something I could never catch up with. And I'm just now appreciating the grace and mercy of
yes.
God. Set yourself free today, Bridge
yes.
Church.
Yes.
You could not get yourself to God, so God got himself to you. That's poor grammar, but that's perfect theology.
That's good. Say it.
God loves you.
Yes.
Let me say this. Don't determine God's love based off your situation. That is a bad way to judge God's love for you. The best way to judge God's love for you is to ask the question, what was my biggest issue? And did he answer that? Your biggest issue was not your paycheck, your marriage, or your health. Your biggest issue was that you had a sin issue with God. And God sent his son to die on the cross just for you. So gauge your question off of that.
Right.
If God paid my debt, which is the greatest issue I have, then what makes me think that he won't always take care of me?
Come on. Yeah.
All right. Y'all look sleepy. All right. That's what I heard. I'm going to be done. All right. Okay. I'm going to hurry up. David, in this moment, is my favorite part. It's as if he says, I'm taking count of my life. I'm reflecting back on what God has done. The issue, I think, with Christians is we rarely ever reflect back on what God has done. We need to update our resume. Stop telling what God did 10 years ago. What did God do yesterday? You cannot get to heaven based off your mama's faith. You must have your own experience with Jesus. David says in verses 1-3, when life was going good, he was with me.
Yeah.
In verses 4, when life was going bad, he was with me.
Yes.
So maybe, just maybe, he shall be with me forever. He says, surely, that means assurance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now, goodness and mercy is back here on the screen right here. It means goodness is God's support. His mercy is his steadfast love. What David is saying is, God's goodness and mercy, his helpfulness and his love for me shall chase me, shall pursue me,
yes,
shall run after me,
yes,
all the days of my life.
Amen.
I'll say it this way. What chases you, Bridge Church, is not your sin.
Come on.
It's not your shame.
Yeah.
It's not your guilt. It's not your shortcomings. It's not what people say about you. What chases you is the help and the love of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that sometimes I preach in ways you can't take good notes. I'm sorry about that. But I hope you hear my heart.
Yeah.
I came from Las Vegas to remind you that you have a God who has not forgotten about you. And you have a God who shall supply your every need. So what does it mean for the shepherd's promise? It means this. Jesus is with me, and his goodness and mercy shall follow me today, tomorrow, and forever. Pastor Ricky, I'm having a hard time really believing that God is my shepherd. Well, the great black preacher S.M. Lockridge would say it this way. He would say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want for rest, for he makes me lie down in green pastures. I shall not want for refreshment, for he leads me beside still waters. I shall not want for forgiveness, for he restores my soul. I shall not want for guidance, for he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I shall not want for companionship. For yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. I shall not want for comfort, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I shall not want for provision, for thou prepare a table before me, the presence of my enemies. I shall not want for joy, for thou anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. I shall not want for anything in this life, for goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall not want for anything in a life to come, for I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This church, if the Lord is your shepherd, what more do you want?
That's good. That's good.
God loves you.
Amen.
He loves you. You're not lost. You're not overlooked. Take a breath. Breathe. Because he is yours. Father, my prayer today is that what was said fell on good soil, and that your people have been encouraged. That even though it may feel as if you have forgotten them, that it feels as if they're just running around like two ships passing through the night, they feel as if they can't catch their breath. But they go back to that old song they used to hang on their kitchen wall. They take it down, realize that that psalm in 6 verses sums up life.
Jesus.
Life starts with God. Life ends with God. And everything in between is all about God. Restore us, Father. Help us, Jesus. Wipe away our tears. Give us peace in our heart. Forgive us of our sins. And help us to trust in you. In Christ's name, amen.